And hello, welcome to the Honest War Gamer. Welcome to Stream Streak Day 119. Welcome to the 40K Adjacent Show, and possibly it's going to be an amazing. It's a peak experience, mainly because of the characters that are on. Pete the Falcon down there.
Caca.
And then Val the Finger.
Val the also Falcon.
So close.
Decided to go with a new nickname. It's also the Falcon.
So close. But it's a bit of a monumental day today, obviously ignoring the release of Derry Girls Season 2.
Let's talk about that.
And the discovery of Black Monday. That was big.
What's that?
Bro, you got to get into this, man. It's an amazing show starring Don Cheadle.
I've not seen it. I need to get on it.
Oh. Yes, it's great.
Okay, well, what happens? What's the premise?
Premise is it's 1987. Actually, it's 1986. And Don Cheadle is the head of the 11th biggest trading firm in Manhattan, as a premise, is already fantastic. He's like a super slick Wall Street trader who loves cocaine and rides around in a stretched Lamborghini Countach because it's the 80s. And the premise is that they are somehow involved in the great stock market crash of 1987, which is called Black Monday. And so the end of each episode sort of counts down to Black Monday, but you don't know what's going to happen. They're just
they don't know either.
No, they don't know what they're doing. No.
Oh, is it like Suits 2?
No, it's a super comedy. Like it is an outlandish, awesome comedy. It's got a lot of familiar faces in it that people whose names other people would know, but I don't. I look like this.
So it's a lot like Chernobyl 2. Just outlandish comedy.
It's exactly like Chernobyl 2. But that's also in 1986, so wonderful tie-in. It's actually part of the same universe.
Yeah. there'll be crossover episodes. For sure. For sure.
I'm into it.
I know how the media works.
The soundtrack's also phenomenal. They pick some fantastic new wave tracks for every episode. It's great.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds brilliant. I'm sorry I didn't. Have you actually watched Derry Girls, or are you not in on the Derry Girls hype?
Oh.
Have you seen The Inbetweeners? Do you know what that is?
And I haven't watched that other one that you told me to watch that was super important and our friendship was based on it?
Yeah. Peep Show. That's fine. Don't worry about it. You're a kind of you're a four non guy anyway. You're a classic Jeremy, if anything.
It's not fair. Using references from the show you told me to watch against me.
Derry Girls is class. Derry Girls is about a group of teenage girls in Northern Ireland during the upheavals. During the Troubles in the 80s. And it's just great. Great crack, great laugh. And if you've got any love for Irish people at all, it'll be right up your street. But anyway, less of that, more of 40K and how everyone is. How are you both? Falcon, you were up late last night, right?
A little bit, but not that late. Like, I don't know, 1 in the morning?
That's pretty late. Like,
that's 3 hours ago, everybody.
I'm good.
What were you reading last night on Fireside with the Falcon?
I read Missing in Action, another one of the Magos short stories. I'm trying to nail all those down before I move into something else. So there's 12 short stories in that novel. So I'm going through them. Really good one to get through. Next week it'll be something something Black Cloth and the Curious Demise of Titus Endor. So.
Now, I don't know if you guys listen to the great Paul Murphy show, Forge the Narrative.
Yep.
But starring Adam Camilleri and these days Red Powell. So they've actually got, I think, the best Forge the Narrative lineup they've ever had. Nonetheless, their guest this week, none other than Dan Abnett.
Yep.
Pretty big.
Nailed it.
Pretty big.
Who does not require an interviewer to be there with him. Dan Abnett will just talk extemporaneously, no problem.
What was he talking about?
He's approached all kinds of things. Every now and then, Paul be like, like just sound like Bill Clinton for 2 seconds. And then that would just spark something from Dan Abnett, and he would just race off. It was awesome. I've never seen someone be able to talk faster than Paul could squeeze in words.
Okay. Okay, that's good. I'll give that a listen, especially because Adam's on. I'm a big fan of Adam. I'm also a big fan of Paul. I'm not trying to get taken away from Paul.
No, we know. You know you are, and that's fine. You're allowed to.
And for the actual record, it might sound like I'm trying to throw shade at Dan Abnett. I am absolutely not. But he does very easily talk about his process and how he approaches things, and he's very charming, and he just packs a lot into his hour. It was great. And then I thought the 40K chatter afterwards with Adam and Red was fantastic as well.
What were their topics?
Wow,
left
horses. Just horses.
They were talking about stuff. I just remember thinking, that's a good point, guys. I don't remember what it was. I was engaged, okay? I normally don't listen to an hour and a half anymore of like in-depth 40K chat, and they were talking about long, and I enjoyed it. So, forge the narrative, everybody.
Good. Yeah, there we go. That's good. But isn't it also a bit of a monumental day, Val, because it's not long until Mini Val appears. The baby boomer is upon us.
Day is nigh. Yeah, yep. We have a do not pass go date, which is Saturday. If the baby don't show, doctor's going to make baby show. Ooh, and I don't know how they do that. I assume there's a drug cocktail involved.
I think it's, isn't it just shaking, like, heavily?
Yes, we'll shake my wife.
Just pick her up and they're like, get out! Get out of there!
They just get a megaphone and they point it at her belly. And then they go.
That's not where they point it.
Baby! I know you're in there! Baby, come out!
See how I use my sound effect board there for a nice little sound gag?
Come out! I'm gonna stay inside! It's so warm!
That was terrifying, and perhaps baby responding through the wall of the womb.
I can do. I don't. Good. Well, are you nervous? Are you excited? How you doing?
Super excited. It's gonna be great. Can't wait to meet this maniac baby. It's as I joked in the chat, I think it's either trying to Kool-Aid Man and or like aliens want its way out of my wife's stomach. It's messed up at this point. Like,
it's just
always seeing
that slip and slide. That's all. That's all.
Whew. Yeah, I wish. For Meg's sake, I wish that we were already through this. It's definitely in the this isn't fun anymore, I want off this ride stage. So hopefully very soon.
Did you get kicked in the back? Did you ever have that happen yet?
No.
Because that's the worst.
She sleeps in like a pillow fort. Like, I haven't been anywhere near my wife in many months.
Because like the first time I got kicked in the back by Xander, when he was like, you know, prenatal, I was pretty much done. I was like, nope, this is weird. Don't do that anymore. You stop that. I'm trying to sleep here, biddy.
What, through the stomach?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm against that. I mean, I'm against that.
There's a thing inside. Yeah, nah. Me too. I was, but it happens. And yeah.
Like, and
it
also,
a born again man child considers this
stay up at the head end. Oh. Hmm.
This is slightly adjacent, but also
apparently this is too adjacent. We have gone too far.
I don't agree. I don't agree.
They're trying to find that middle, right?
Can I also express to everyone in the chat, because you guys aren't aware of this, is Val is on what I can only describe as a terrorist campaign to freak out me and Pete by continuously like saying hello in the mornings in our Facebook chat with baby and hey babe and stuff like this, and continuously on edge as to the fact that there might be a birth. And I'm panicking. Maybe Pete's taking it more in his stride, having been through this. But for me, I'm living slightly vicariously through you. With no intent to ever go on the journey that you're on, and terrified is the only way I could, even just knowing it's happening to someone else, scary.
Think about this, Rob. it's literally happening right now to like six people.
Oh, really? Six right people now. A minute?
Six people are just, they're popping one out as we speak. And
I would bet going it's way more than same. That.
It's just happening.
Like so many more than that. There's like 6.5 billion, maybe seven. Who knows what the number
it's
is?
Nearly
these
eight.
Days.
Nearly eight.
Nearly eight. Do you remember when we were children that it was like two?
Yeah.
8 billion people cannot have babies. There's a lot of them that are outside of that baby making zone.
I'm just and saying, like, a whole lot of other things going on. 1% of a billion is a fuck ton of people, all right?
So you think 1% of people have babies every minute? What okay. the fuck
was a lot
kind of
okay.
world
it was a
do you live in?
It was a for instance.
What?
What? 1 in 100 people that you know are just popping one out right now.
That's, also, yeah, Val, why are you arguing with Pete on the stats? Like, I feel like he's going to get this down cold.
Look. Look. I'm being... My words are being twisted. Okay? Words are being twisted.
Baby vending machines out there.
Val just walking into the hospital like, where are all of the mothers lined up like cows at a milking farm? Just popping them out. Let's go.
Okay. They want
the math.
They want 40k numbers now. Okay. Oh.
Right. So. I mean, since we all were last together, a lot has happened in 40k.
A lot.
Does anyone have a jump-off point that they would like to hit on? I mean, obviously, I think the most relevant recent thing, is all of the points were either showed on early reveals and or leaked out yesterday. And a big shout out to Goonhammer on a phenomenal article that they put up about the points. Well, I thought it was phenomenal anyway. I don't know if anyone's got any
other feelings.
It was
okay. I mean, they always do a great job. I always like their extra deep dives they do. I think that with all
247 babies are born a minute, you jackass.
Oh, that's 1% of the world's population, is it? 8 billion divided by 100 is 247.
Yeah, you're the one who got six.
247 is still a lot, though, right?
So
that's my point.
Val, what's 240 divided by 60? It's 4, right? 4 per second's okay. All right, back to topic. So, points. Yes, they came out. Goonhammer did a good article. There were some other ones that weren't as good. Yeah.
What are we talking about?
So the Goonhammer article with points. Did you?
Oh my!
Did you catch it?
Yes, it was. It sang to me in my language.
Okay.
Spoke the song of my people.
Because, like, so me and I got called an idiot off air. I'd like everyone to be aware of that. Because I've never really rated the shock attack gun, the SAG, for orcs. Apparently, that makes me an idiot. It's not that I haven't rated it. I just think it's not the path the 5-0s. But
the thing I enjoy about the SAG gun is that you said that I was like, who called you an idiot?
It was you.
It was definitely me like 5 minutes ago.
I mean, he wasn't wrong.
And the Goonhammer article did talk about, you know, the points changes there. And to me, that didn't really bother me and my build. Again, I didn't really play my build very competitively in 8th, and I didn't take it to a lot of events, so I could definitely be talking out of my ass. But my feeling was that wasn't the case. But like, still, I felt like as a good start off snapshot of everything that I wanted to know about, it worked. I don't know if you guys felt the same.
Yeah. It's a good generic overview. They hit on like the biggest pointers. I think they weren't 100% accurate on a few things, but they're doing their best given like a short time frame.
Let's not criticize GW. Let's criticize the Goonhammer article. What did you take umbrage with? Because I just accept them as my opinion now. So.
Oh, okay. Well, whenever it's a first blush review, you have to realize that, you know, they've only had those points for like 2 days. Because I know everybody kind of just got it in an email. Like 2 days before they were told they were allowed to talk about it. So they did as much as they could. But some of the examples of things that probably didn't turn out, that where they say they didn't get as good a good a blush as everybody else. Maybe not as bad. I think they put Craft World Eldar as having gotten a big hit, but really, once you count like weapon points, etc., they don't get hit that hard. They're actually in a pretty decent place. Mob Rules did the same thing. They put out like a quick graph of like the points differentials, but they only used base points. They didn't look at equipment. Yeah. And so it made it look like Eldar just got like boned. And they didn't really. Orcs did. Orcs definitely took a good slap in the peener.
Stomper went up points.
Yeah, I know. Although in general, super heavies didn't get wrecked so hard, which was great.
Welcome to the town, Armetta.
Yeah, but okay, so that's the other thing. There are some comical errors. One of which, by the way, is probably the shock attack gun, which is covered in the Goonhammer article. So essentially, for those that don't know, it looks like what they've done is they've taken the... Is my mic super loud all of a sudden?
No, it's fine.
No? Okay, sorry. Dripping balls. All right. They took like the cheapest loadout, like so whatever the lowest costed loadout was, and they added that into the base cost of the model. And then any sort of incremental amounts from there are additional points for like an upgraded weapon, kind of like how, yeah, anyway, makes a lot of sense. But for some things, they added the weapon into the cost of the model and then kept the cost of the weapon, like the shock attack gun. And for other things, they reduced the cost of the weapon to zero and then didn't bake anything into the model, like my dear friend, the Townar. So there's some some funny mess ups out there.
Yes, it doesn't. I don't want to come off too heavy on this because I did spend 3.5 hours yesterday ragging on the points for Age of Sigmar. But that's actually not true. I didn't spend 3.5 points. We just spent the GHB last night, by the way, if anyone's interested at all, was excellent other than points and the fact that there was no FAQ or update. Like currently the Age of Sigmar game is half full. No one knows what's happening because half the armies don't have an FAQ, and the app you can't build. Also, I told you guys obviously off air, you can't build armies in the paid for official Age of Sigmar app right now because they've said they're not doing that. They're doing the 40k app instead. Okay, sure.
They're
I had a long conversation with people yesterday about that. It's they really dropped the ball super hard, pretty quickly.
It makes me concerned for the 40k app. It does. That level of mismanagement is not something that you can. It's not hard to predict.
Concerned.
Okay.
I'm not concerned because I know 3 months ago, Mr. Brandt was assigned this portfolio, and he's been talking about it for a little while. Mm-hmm. And now I'm pretty sure every one of their app developers just has a Zoom window with Mike Brandt sipping his coffee and just looking at them while they work. I think that's his management style. He's just constantly just staring at everybody from the internet, and they're working as hard as they can now. Before that,
you could just hire more guys. Rough.
Hire more people? Are you insane?
Leighton yesterday was like, just give me 30 quid in an hour and I'll fill in all the points. It's fine. it's not a hard job. Anyway, but you're right. Sorry, we were talking 40k points. Anyway, please continue. You were saying put 40k points? Some of them are off. I think the point I was trying to make, sorry, is that maybe this... I don't want to see train wreck, nor car crash, nor, kind of like flaming dumpster of kind of half-assed attempt to put something out is indicative of what we might see in the future. But also, I'm not saying that's not the case currently. Thoughts?
Chapter Tactics, I gave it an 80-20 chance of success. I said 80% chance it's successful, 20% chance it's garbage. So I think that's a pretty fanboy hot take.
Pete?
I think that they've stretched too far too quickly right after COVID. I think you can now see what they're capable of, and it's not enough. That's all. I think the app will be fine. I think the app will be out in a month, maybe less, and it'll be okay. It won't be anything that's going to blow anybody's socks off, but it'll work. Just from the little things I've seen from Brandt, I don't think it's that far off that people think. But in regards to everything else that's happened in the last couple of weeks, where like the Indominus box set bullshit that happened, these point costs, which I mean, like people in chat are talking about very like granular things, and there are, everything they're saying is correct. There's a bunch of shit that doesn't make sense in terms of if you compare apples to apples or apples to oranges or whatever you want to call it when it comes from like codex to codex. Mm-hmm. But like the
as long as it's apples.
But the big stuff. The big, like, they generally handled a lot of the big stuff, right? So the things that, like, the overall general community were mad about saw changes. Not everything as well, but it looks like they tried. There seems to have been a generic formula they just applied to everything, and then they, like, hit, like, you know, whatever, 20 units. So they were like, these ones we think are either an issue or just are garbage, and we're going to fix them a little bit more either way. And that's not what people wanted either, of course. Like, everybody wants, I think everybody kind of expected this would be, like, the big fix. They're moving into a new edition. Everything's going to be better. But, you know, we ended up with them being far short on Indominus boxes after telling everyone they had boatloads and boatloads and, like, they'll never run out and everyone will get whatever they want. Stores being mad because they got shorted. And then you have this, and then you have the app coming out. Well, like not on time and without features that they said would be ready on time. So like it really seems like they've overstretched themselves and they won't just say it. Just say it. Just be like, hey, guys, we're sorry. They have the biggest excuse in the world is a fucking pandemic going on. They can just say, listen,
can't play with
the
pandemic.
We thought we
right
would
now
be able to do this, but we fucked up. We don't have enough people or there is, you know, everybody's dying. So we couldn't push it the way we wanted to. But, you know,
so
they didn't. They're just like, blah.
Yep, up, beep.
Made to order.
So here's. So first of all, whoever does their production line projections, I said this in Chapter Tactics, they're either doing it on purpose at this point, i.e. like not making enough stuff to make things scarce. I don't think is the case because they wouldn't have done main to order probably if that was the case.
I couldn't disagree more with that point. I don't think that you understand the level of knuckle dragging ineptitude that occurs. Like you,
this is where I'm getting at. This is where it's not on purpose. I think there's a lot of people who could be like, well, maybe they're doing it on purpose. Maybe they're like Nike or Magic the Gathering. No, they're not. Whoever does this, I think, is probably gonna hopefully be in some doo-doo. I also want to point out, as I did on Chapter Tactics, whatever this whole kerfuffle is around Indominus is happened many, many moons ago, long before we thought about global pandemics outside of Dustin Hoffman starring an outbreak.
Love
there
that
was
film.
Great film. There was like certainly this was a pre-pandemic kerfuffle. More than likely this order was put in sometime around this time last year, I would think. So, that all being said, I think the Indominus stuff was a bummer, and it's the same as the sister stuff before that, and apparently every OS box set, et cetera, et cetera. So they got to get that shit together because, as I've said on this show before, there's going to be investor expectations, and not having enough of your product to sell when everyone wants it, that's a bad management situation. And that is, and when they are a manufacturer first, as they will proudly declare all the time in their investment statements, and they can't manufacture enough stuff, that's a problem. That's just a management issue, and I'm sure that actually can get sorted out. It's management and a capacity issue, and I'm sure it can get sorted out. Next, the points, though. When...
Oh, are you going to say something bad? No way.
Yes.
Oh, my... Yes! Go on.
The points... So I think when Ninth was first leaked and they said they were inflating the points, I was like, they were so close. Because they did, it's the correct instinct. Make the points bigger. Make a larger point scale. I would say take every model in the game, multiply its base cost by 100, then start tweaking. Gives you more room for granularity. Because what they've done to solve the issue is they've inflated 1 point cheap models to 5 points. And that's it. That's how they solved the problem. And so like a Grot... And I mean, the orcs are going to be the poster boy, I think, for a lot of this, and probably Tyranids too, but no one knows what any of those things do. A Grot, it's 5 points model, as is a Imperial Guardsman, like the super soldier of the 40,000th century, or whatever it is. year. As is, and like Occultus is 6 points. So you got all these like low end of the range models that are all the same points cost and wildly different in value. And they just totally pooched. They threw out also, and I think Goonhammer does a good job of talking about this. It's like they just didn't apply any of the lessons from 8th edition. It's crazy. Like, I don't know why they didn't just add, if they wanted the game to be 20% smaller, just add 20%, right? Like, they could have just added 20% to everybody. Everybody's army is reduced by the same ratio compared to what, or they could have just made the game default size 1,500 points. We could have had all of the great, lessons learned from 8th edition baked into the new edition, and then maybe you tweak Space Marines like they did, and you have a very good game. But now you've got all these armies that are right back to, literally, I would say, if you, I want to do this later, if I'm not a dad, just compare, like, what were the index costs for orc models? And I would bet a lot of these models are back to where they were at the index, especially things like flash kits, and like as they are now. And that's insane. That's insane.
Yeah, the flash kits change was interesting, right?
Just what?
I loved it. Pete, what are your thoughts?
No, I think Val's mostly right. I don't see anything to argue there. Like, this is just what's happened to the game right now. Like I said, and even the Goonhammer article mentions it, there is a formula. Like, it's very clear when you look at the models. They said, you know, certain ones are going to go up X amount. Characters are going, if they were below a certain point, they kind of moved them up 5 points or 20 points to get them to that like, whatever key point it is. I think Val's right in that it's not the correct formula, that they should have applied broadly across the board. I'm not sure just doing a 20% flat and then tweaking a few things is what they needed, though, because the game is changing on a basic level, and none of us have played it enough to know if that would have been good for the game, right? So there are armies that will now play better in this game that would not have played in 8th. So if you just gave a 20% flat increase to everybody, a bunch of armies would have gotten probably dicked in the other way because of it. So it's, I don't know. I'm going to play a wait and see on this. I agree that the changes were too generic and that there are a few things where they obviously made a mistake. But I'm not going to say that it was completely and utterly wrong to do until we get some actual games like recorded and we can see where the game is headed.
Well, can I say that I thought of one justification, and so I'd like to give it because I feel like it, and it's just a systematic one. Maybe, and I do hate second guessing them because I almost assume that it's just a poor decision that's led us here. But maybe they're like, well, we know the game state, okay? So now let's put the new missions in. Let's take the game state we know, army versus army, put the new missions in, and the new rules. See how that falls out, and then readjust. Because really, they'd be readjusting for a new game, which is weird. Now, I agree with everyone in the chat who can tell me a million different ways in which X, like, obelisks going up, I think, is like, and dumb shit. But, like, they're just like, well, we know the game state, and we know where the units are, maybe. Like, you know, maybe they've got, like, a pass-fail on a unit sort of situation in there, in some sort of spreadsheet. And then the new missions, they see what happens after 6 months and they think, okay, none of those have changed around. Maybe some of them have changed around and have moved into the different categories. Then we can approach it. That's my only justification for maybe why. I don't think it's the reason, but I'd like to, like, I always live in hope. Everyone maybe thinks that I'm a Debbie Downer, but that's not the case.
No, I know. And honestly, guys, like, here's something I really did want to preface first, which is I think 9th, like, this is why I'm disappointed. Like, 9th to me looked like 8th edition 1.0. I've said that before. The core rules look like everything they learned from 8th edition plus some neat stuff. That's awesome. The 8th edition approach to the rules, which was like a super simple, you know, 8 pages, is still there. It's in the bullet points. But they also include all of those FAQs, all of the great work that was done in refining the game over the past 3 years. Fantastic. The reason why the points went broke my heart, gave me a big. What's that? they seem to not, they didn't seem to carry those lessons with them into the point setting, or they didn't evolve their thinking on it. And like, so again, I mentioned this on Chatter Tactics last night, $3.5 billion US, $3.5 billion US is their market cap. It's a very valuable company now. They're a big boy company. Like, they could literally say, how would NASA point this game? Like, how would we build a model to show this game and to show relative value in this game? And they could literally get someone to do that for them at this point, probably at an incremental cost.
Not including, you know, like, all the people that would do it for them for free.
Easily. Which is, for
it's just significant amounts of people. I got to say.
What happened to Mark,
go on.
Too,
no,
right?
No, you go.
No, it's just like, but my point is like this game, it doesn't need to be modeled. Like, we're all just huge fanboys and we just desperate, because I just thought they were doing so well and I was just waving their flag. I was like, yes, this is great. And then this is just kind of like a fuck. And I assume maybe it'll get worked, but I think a really big level up for them would be if they had a good way to at least get a ballpark points level that's not just all just by feel. I think it's pretty clear that they have like a ancient formula for pointing things and then they gut feel it from there. And I don't think that really works that well anymore when you have so many variables. I think they could do a lot better if they actually modeled the game and then increased the point scale so that they could refine it properly. And then, you know, cut it, bring it down to a normal number after that. But like, whatever it is, they've just got a, they need a better system for pointing things, because it's far too arbitrary at this point. It just doesn't make any sense.
I'd agree with that. And then the FAQs came out, which was
I'm
maybe,
sure made you very happy.
Me.
Yeah. As an Age of Sigmar player, to have an actual General's Handbook and no FAQs, and we don't have a book yet, and we already got ours.
Oh, it did. No, like, I mean, for the two different game systems, it's one crowd like, what the fuck? And another crowd, I mean, the 40K crowd is still like, what the fuck as well, really? Because, like, still, who were supreme leaders or commanders?
Yeah, no one knows.
No one knows. Who's one
of
those?
Yeah. We know three. They gave us three.
Isn't it Morty, Magnus, and Gutliman?
Anything that is Primarch. That's the only thing they've told us. Primarchs are supreme leaders. But there's nothing in the core rulebook that tells you what they are.
Do none of the like new data sheets from Psychic Awakening have one snuck in there? Like the Shadow Sun?
No, there's no key. It's a keyword. I assume day one FAQ, but this is, maybe, we've already gotten them and we don't have it. So I don't know. Maybe
we're getting trolled. Maybe they were like, shit, we screwed up, guys. Why don't we release the original stuff 2 weeks early and then day one FAQ, the pre-day one FAQ?
Yeah, it's possible. Very possible. That's what I was expecting out of a day one FAQ on top of what we got. Because the day one FAQs are mostly just what you would expect, like correcting keywords and rules to match the changes to character targeting and the heavy rule, things like that. There are a few really nice snippets in there that they added that will fix some other problems that would have come up later. So like someone was aware of what was going on. Like Sisters of Battle got a really nice boon to the Triumph of St. Catherine because it can actually use terrain for cover. Even though it's a parade, people, it's like, it, like, who cares? It's a parade. How do you hide the Macy's Day Parade? It just, you can't. So, like,
well, I always think
it would have been fine without.
Go on.
Yeah. But I mean, it's fine. I'm happy that they got it.
I think of it as trying to hide Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act 2. It's just like, you're not doing it.
Yeah. A good analogy.
Oh, happy day.
And then, I mean, Trajan Valoris, my boy, got his moment shackle super upgraded, which made me very happy. Might actually make me play him in ninth with my lists. So super cool with that. And they fixed the Storm Shield issue before it became a thing, which was good on them for acknowledging that they'd made a mistake with that designer commentary.
I've got something. Yeah. So maybe, they seem to have forgotten a few lessons, but that's cool. I think the FAQ drop, even though for some reason doesn't include FAQs for a bunch of stuff that's been released in the last 6 months, I think it's good, because what they did was they just killed a bunch of stupid arguments that would have existed for the next 6 weeks. Next 2 weeks. That would like they're like just the things like the storm shield debacle, like things that will plainly be fixed. Obviously, that's just like a minor oversight, I hope. And so they everything they had ready to go, they could drop early. And maybe that's why they did it, because it's a little weird that they did drop it before the actual, like, everything else came out. Don't you think? Do you think that's a bit strange? I think that's a bit strange.
Well, I actually think that it's kind of in relation. It feels like knee-jerk preemptive strike. It feels like if we look at the leaks from the Mournival and the leak that we saw previously as well, I feel like getting that out in the information channels that they want it delivered in, as opposed to, like, if you look at that, FAQs out and points out in an email, so not like a plan time, just like, boom, out, there we go. Feels like it's a business reaction or a decision to something maybe that they knew was coming or they saw coming, I'm not sure. Go on, Val, you got a thought.
Yeah, so you've said this a bunch of times now. So the points, the people don't have chapter approved. They just have the points.
Yes.
Yeah, they got an email, a watermarked email.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And also,
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friday night, I think, was emails were sent out to a number of people, and it was like, here you go. You're allowed to talk about it on Monday.
So there's a real chance that doc isn't right.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I think they definitely.
What are you talking about? Could totally be. You could totally have errors in it and all kinds of stuff. But anyway,
well, so
I wonder what the print book's going to be then.
Well, so this is another thing. If anyone's interested to get into some murky waters here, FYI, I'm playing a game of 4DK tomorrow, and I'm very excited about it. Although I am playing 6 Decabots in Mars for my first 9th edition game, so expect some 9th edition salt Thursday night. Can't wait to watch all my Orc boys get blitzed, but I'll hide, I guess, is my plan. The book for the points, so the Minotaurum, I think that's the name of it, right? Is printable, it's only a print version. There's no digital version. There will be a digital version, I assume, available for $3.99 via an app. If you want no points or you do shit, here we go. So, that's a hard-locked pay for our app day one release, unless you buy the paper book, obviously, or use the Excel spreadsheets that are all over the internet. Your choice. but yeah, I don't know. You guys got any thoughts on that? You don't have to have any thoughts. It's just, you know, business is a good business, I guess.
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of the app. I think the app, like I said, I think it's gonna come around good. I think certainly out of the gates, I think the app is probably worth the sub, unless you know about places to find free rules on the internet. But to me, I think it looks like the user interface will be good. I'll be paying for the app out of the gates, and I bought the sucker edition of the rule book because I'm an idiot. So yeah, I don't know what else to say on that front.
Well, hold on. So Sir Callum's saying he thinks 90% will still buy the hard copy of Chapter Proof in the Field Manual. Is there enough? Is the real question. Like, is there enough of that? Like, because if you can't, you're like, okay, my only options are get the app with the points on, that's my system, or not. You know, but anyway, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I always bought Chapter Approved as a form of corporate charity, because I mean, I've barely opened them once, because I'm already mad when I'm just looking at a wall of numbers. And also they're out of context before, like, and they still are probably, so you don't even see what's changed. You don't know what's different. But I think the thing that actually will make Chapter Approve worth it is that it looks like it's the, you know, it's the match play mission pack is what it is. I mean, that's what the title seems to suggest. It looks like there's no other bullshit in it. Maybe not, but it looks like it'll be the real version of the missions, which is funny because everyone's buying a book with missions in it already. So it'll be the real version of the missions, whatever the, if they've made any tweaks to match play for like the release, that'll be in there as well. So yeah, I think that book might actually be one that I use this time. The points though, I mean, come on, like I would just generally speaking, I'd read the stuff on the internet about what happened with the points, and then I'd wait for Battlescribe to get updated. So I pay $3 a year for that app. I'm going to pay $5.50 something bucks a year for the GW app.
A month, you know, but it's fine.
You know. Yeah. No, well,
we pay more for all sorts of other shit, so it doesn't matter. Like,
whatever. I understand if people are annoyed by it, but nonetheless, we were paying for those points anyway, and you can pay for them in Chapter Approved and write them into your codex, which is stupid, or you can just wait for Battlescribe and the GW app to update with them.
MJ Pegasus is making a good point in the chat, which I agree with as well, because I think the problem that we're going to face in the future, and I think it's super true, we saw this with the GHB and the points last night, where they were just completely out of whack. You know, they were printed 10 months ago. Most of the like updates ended up coming into like the winter FAQ, and there's still some more now, but they were effectively like no change was the points update. And now in this situation, obviously there are significant points changes, but like I said this on the show last night, and I feel that this is true as well. I'll buy Chapter Approved every year. Just give me the missions, give me the new secondaries, give me the like, give me the match play stuff that you want to give me. That's fine. That's fine. Then let me just pay for the points somewhere else. We're shaking hands. Because those points are changed almost, like, we're so used to like buying a book and knowing it's going to have significant changes in 2 weeks. Like, that, I mean, that's the thing. I still like codexes. I like the narrative. I like the pictures. I like the art. Art really gets me into 40K in a big fucking way. I'm just like, that's evocative as shit. I'm getting it. I just think that they should just start putting the points all online. Just deal with it there. And then, you know, you clean it up a little bit, which is nice. Because, like you, I want the missions. Like, it's fun. Look in the book. Like, that's... I get that book every time for the missions. Never the points. Because the points are in the app or website or piece of paper that I use to build my army list. It's never a piece of paper, FYI. It's, do you know what I mean?
It's super strange that points are something that they use in a print book and to sell copies of that book, I assume. FAQs and errata are considered, you know, updates to something you already paid for. I don't know why. Maybe it's I actually literally have no idea why they decided to split those things up. Like, why points changes aren't just on the FAQ documents doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it.
Well, they were for a time, and people got confused, so they stopped. They wanted to centralize it, right? Like, that was the whole point. When they first started like FAQing the whole world at the beginning of 8th, and like every 2 weeks we were getting an FAQ, there were point changes in them relatively consistently, and it really confused players, right? Outside of like the very competitive level, casual players had no idea. I mean, even with the addition of Chapter Approved, there are casual players that still have no idea. They just use what's in their core book, right? Because they don't care. But there is a certain part of the community that just couldn't handle having FAQs with all of these changes in it, including their points. So,
I'm confused now. Like, I'm like, okay, so there's a core book with rules. Sweet. Okay. Like, is Psychic Waiting invalid? Yes. But also there's no FAQs for it. Okay. There's FAQs for all the armies. All right. And there's points, but not available to anywhere other than if I see an Excel spreadsheet online for me. Okay. Like, but is the game now playable? Or am I waiting for some other mythical thing to make the game the game? And, like, what do I do? Like, does that make sense? Like, I can kind of like work it out, but it's not very clear. And this is my biggest issue, I think, is it's not very good for new gamers at all. Like, a new guy wanting to get in 40K is like, what the fuck is this? Like, I'm so confused. That's how I feel anyway. Like, if you guys are like, it's really obvious, then I'm sorry.
Everything about this game is hilarious if you're coming at it from like someone brand new coming into it. But I think and I was saying this again yesterday, I'm repeating myself a lot, but nonetheless, I think what carries people through that is the excitement to want to play this insane game. Like, if it's got its hooks in you and you really want to do this, nothing's going to stop you. And that's why this game has survived so long with its backward stuff. Most of like, we put up with all that. We put up with worse than what we're talking about. Like, everything that we're complaining about right now is actually hilariously an improvement over the way it used to be. So that's my preface. The thing with the points and like digital updates and stuff is now that they have an app, or they will have an app, and that app will iterate and get better, hopefully, over time. Now you're going to have a push pull, I hope, where they're going to be able to see like how much people want more from their app and how much they want less from their books. Because the thing that's going to suck is that no matter what happens, the app is going to be driven by the prints, like the print schedule and the release of physical copies of things. So we won't really get a living rule book scenario because we'll always be that 6 months lag behind the current meta thanks to the print schedule. Once GW, I think, gets hip to the fact that, wait a second, 80-90% of our players interact with the rules, just the rules part, via this app because it's up to date, it's convenient, it's easier to find things, all kinds of stuff. There's going to be a tremendous amount of value add in having a mobile-based rules platform, period, without an armor builder, whatever. Once they start seeing that, now there's going to be probably a counter-argument for everyone in the books and what do they call box and books section or whoever the... I can't remember.
Yeah.
You know the name
that
of
guys.
It.
That guys. Yeah, box and books.
Who are probably very reluctant to give up what they probably consider is a golden goose, which is their codexes. You know, like, hey, guys, we're going to lose money if we stop printing these. They might start losing that argument in PowerPoint presentations, and we start to move. But it's not going to be a process. That's not going to happen overnight because these guys learn lessons the hard way, and that's fine because I still love them. But I think it will take a little bit of time before we get to that point where it is a fully rationalized living rulebook scenario. They'll have the pieces in place, but if they start using them and when they start using them in a way that we would like, it's probably going to be a little while. That was very long-winded. Did that make any sense?
No, it did. That's my exact thoughts on how this is happening. And Born Again Manchild makes a relatively valid point. Maybe they didn't realize how all over the place the points were to begin with. I think they. I will say that I think they did because they tried to make an app 2 years ago, and the reason why it failed outside of a power level app was explicitly for this reason. Was the guy that was trying to make it or the group that was trying to make it were like, this is way too complicated. I can't do this. Like, that was it. Like, they were just like, nope, I don't know. You got points everywhere. I don't know how to make this work. And there's so many things that were based on other things. And sure, we have it work in Battlescribe, and why they couldn't just try to make that work is a whole other story. They should be aware at this point. It's just whether or not they have the caring to go any further into it. Do they think they're going to get juice out of the squeeze financially for doing it?
What a good phrase. That's it though. With the point changes, Pete, maybe you'd be best off answering this more than anyone. Like, I know that we've said it's crashed back to 8th edition. There's all sorts of stuff. There's some standout stuff as well. Do you think that there's any armies that like? I know orcs took a bit of a beating, or we think orcs took.
Orcs took
a
beating. They look like they took a beating. But I've been in a few chats about it. We'll see. There's people coming up with ideas. But
my main question, I guess, trying to get a positive vibe, is which armies, which for a long time maybe needed some love, got some love, or was that not none of that case?
The Custodes, 100%. I think probably got the best love. It's hard to say. There are a couple armies that got some really good things, but Custodes in general, if you look at the overall, most armies went up about 200, 250 points-ish. Like, so if you had a 1750 list or an 1800 point list, you're generally where you should have been, like if you were prepping for this. Some armies a little less, some are a little more. Custodes, like most of their lists, 50 or 60 point increase. Like you're not changing, you're dropping like a model to make it work. So
Pete, okay. By the way, big shout out to Pete because a lot of this analysis is done on the backs of 40kstats.com. This is a lot of the Goonhammer analysis. Impossible without Pete's work. So,
Someday
I'll get to work on it again. It'll
what
be nice
do you
once
think
we can
of,
play events.
What do you think of their methodology? Because, like, for example, what they did was they took, like, the most recent good lists and repointed them in the current costs and took a look to see how big things got nerfed.
Yep.
Which, by the way, kind of, I think, helps to disprove your, like, the theory of, like, I can't remember what I was going to say there. Regardless, like, AdMech, their list that they have here, 2,400 points.
Yes, versus the AdMech... the AdMech, well, a few things about that, if you want to get into specifics.
This is legitimately one, because I know you've been talking a lot about AdMech on this show. Ravengard, we understand why. Poor fucking Gene Stealer Cult.
Gene Stealer Cults is one I don't understand. It's like, well, I do, because I think it's, once again, goes back to this concept of things were being balanced for how this game was being played like a year ago almost at this point.
Yeah.
Because of COVID delay, right? So a year ago, Gene Stealer Cults were quite good, and they just got kicked in the arse super hard. They got it probably worse than Orcs, I would say. Other than Ridge Runners, still functional. They only went up like 3 points for their combo. So good for them.
They weren't popular yet a year ago.
But in terms of AdMech, everybody that I talked to that knows even a little bit thought AdMech was broken coming into ninth. That their PA was way too good. And people were saying that they think they pointed them because of that. I'm not sure they pointed the right stuff, because that's the only problem with the Goonhammer methodology. It's the way to go because it's all we have, right? How are we going to put a measured balance on this? Is we got to go with what we know, because who knows how the world's actually going to be once we're playing games again. Mm-hmm. But when the rules have changed enough and the table sizes have changed and there's all these other terrain impacts, what used to be good isn't necessarily still what's good, right? Like the AdMech list that was dominating pre-Engine War, or not dominating, i.e. against other AdMech lists, is not the AdMech list that I think most competitive players I know were scared of coming into ninth edition, right? Like the models that they're talking about are models that aren't even in these lists. So, mm-hmm.
But I mean, when you look at the poise changes, just as a devil's advocate, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe, like things like the sulfur hounds and the copter thing, like those.
Yep.
Well, actually, yeah, the strato raptor didn't get touched.
No, it did not.
But the gunboat and the transport boat did. You know, like it's not like they didn't tweak things on this, although maybe it's different once you see what weapons they folded into the points costs. That might be a thing.
I actually think that one of the most significant, if I'm wrong on this, please pick me up. I was just reading the chat. Is that they started to put the points cost of weapons on vehicle chassis, which is, in my opinion, a fucking excellent move. The big time high fives. Like I'm outside doing party poppers, you know, I'm just like shouting from outside against the shop, like, great work, lads, and they're like, oh yeah, fuck you, Rob. I'm like, yeah, sweet, like, fuck you, buddy.
They don't call him buddy. They just
start an F you.
The person in that story was your boss, wasn't it, Rob?
But the it's also a Twitch emote now, if you guys are interested.
Cool.
And there's also, if you want to become Tory Rob, you can subscribe at the highest tier on Patreon to become Tory Rob, which is 10 out of 10.
I kind of want
to
do it for one month.
Just do the Tory Robs. Anyway, I think that's excellent. That's an excellent systemic change. Like, that's we recognize there's a fundamental, like, actually, that's more elegant than I would have given them credit for being able to do. Like, that's not me trying to be mean. That's just what do you think, Falk? Like, I think it's great.
It's fine. I'm not applying as much, hoorah to it. It's okay. I'm fine with it. It definitely confused, three quarters of the community, though, which is hilarious. People like, oh my god, whatever X thing went up 100 billion points, and then realize that their weapons cost that much.
It's actually it's like the reverse of 8th edition when it launched, when everyone was like, oh my god, a Riptide's 100 points, and they didn't, like, for months after launch, people were not adding the points cost for the weapons in. So
yeah, we have like, oh, an accelerator autocannon's like 130 points.
So I'm looking at the Scorpius Disintegrator as an example right now, using our friends at Wahapio.com.
Yep, it went up about, 40 points, I think?
So it's 185 to 115, but then I don't know what the base weapons are, because I don't know any of these words.
The Scorpius Disintegrator went up, I believe, 40 points-ish once you equip all its weapons. Yeah. And that, I think, is perfect, because it gained with the blast keyword, so it gained power. And Psychic Awakening gave it a lot of power that it didn't need because it was already in like three of in every ad mech list.
I've got a
stratagem that made it better. Yeah, so it went up, I think, 40 points. It was 115 or something like that before, or 108. So I think that's perfectly acceptable. I think like that is what it should have been, you know, post Psychic Awakening in particular. It probably could have been close to that without it, and people would have still run three. You might run one now instead, just to take advantage of the
shoot twice,
the
or whatever
stratagem. No, there's a stratagem that gives it plus one hit and wound, which is really good on that thing. On top of Mars Canticle and everything else. So, like, AdMech is in a super, super good place still. I still think they're probably, like, the... Maybe not as far ahead in terms of where they were. If you subscribe to Art of War and watch their War Room, John Lennon and Nick Nottavati did an AdMech versus Death Guard match using kind of, like, a mixture of rules from what they had for Ninth. And it was just unbelievable, the stuff those two armies can do now. So, them going up... AdMech going up any points is huge because it will kind of level the playing field. I think Death Guard are still terrifying because they came out of, other than Poxwalkers and a little bit Plague Marines, but not as much, they came out of this 9th edition points update baller as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, Plague Burst Crawlers went up a little bit, or I should say a good amount, but once again, I think there's a blast tax being applied to a lot of weapons, at least that are on vehicle chassis. So that's part of it. I mean, like the Basilisk went up a little bit, the Wyvern went up a little bit, Thunderfire Cannon went up, you know, like 70%, Whirlwinds went up a ton. So there's definitely a blast test.
Basically unchanged with a 20-point increase. That's pretty cool.
That's really good for him. And then Mephitic Blight Haulers are absolutely disgusting now. I think Death Guard and AdMech are probably your top two armies right now. Without seeing any games, and you know, I could be completely wrong. Someone could come up with some kind of shenanigan we just haven't figured out. Custodes are in an amazing place because they barely got hit on points. Like I said, the list that I was prepping for Ninth, like I was writing a lot of lists at about the 1800 point mark, just because I thought it would be roughly around that. I had like an extra 140 points to spend because, you know, barely touched. Telemons went up a little bit, but that was fine because they were like in everybody's mind coming into Ninth. They got so many boosts from Psychic Awakening and the changes to Ninth Edition rules. Bikes went up a little bit. Who cares? No one was going to run them, but 5 points is like some people thought they might still be undercosted anyway, so no big there. Captains went up a couple points. Alaris, which people had now considered probably the best unit in that army, went down a point. Yeah. So that was massive. So they're going to be the core of that army probably for the next little while until someone finds some combo. There's just a lot of good for Custodes. I think from a points perspective, they came out best. Death Guard came out really well as well. Thousand Sons got some interesting stuff that I thought was good for them in terms of the chaos side. Demons didn't get enough love by far. Demons, I think, are probably... Demons and Gene Stealer Cults, probably the worst two hit from all of these changes, followed by Orcs.
What's the bummer to me about that is, like, Demons is clearly, I think, probably in the final analysis, most bungled faction of 8th edition.
Yes.
I think when it's all, now that everything's been changed and fixed, yes. I think when it first came out, its troop choices were spectacular. Its HQs were pretty good in terms of Demon Princes, but everything else was a pile of garbage. Everything else.
Yeah, but it was also like they weren't good. It was just like a huge oversight. Like they weren't like intentionally good. They were just like, we've accidentally made Brimstones this cheap. Like, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, Plague Bearers, though, had enough combos you could apply to them to make them stupid, right?
That's true.
But the game evolved to the point where all of their troop choices, except maybe Pink Horrors, weren't valuable anymore. So
yeah. And the follow-up point to that is, and I think this is what makes me sad, is that Gene Stealer Cults, on the other hand, one of the coolest mechanically distinct releases of 8th edition, some of the coolest army builds of 8th edition, even though they were incredibly high skill cap, and just completely pooped on, poured with gasoline, and murdered for no reason. It's just like... and so, like, now Gene Stealer Cult isn't as bad of a need of a rebuild as Demons are, and that's a bummer, man.
Yeah,
I don't know if they need a rebuild. They have all the stratagems. They need someone to go back into the points and be like, sorry. We made a mistake. Aberrants shouldn't be 360 for a five or whatever it is now.
But also, isn't the game this is the other element, I think, as well, is because, well, we talked on the show the other day, last Thursday, me, Nick, and Tom. We had a great discussion, in my opinion, where I was asking lots of questions, and it was about, you talk about custodies, you talk about AdMech because of the output, and then obviously, also survivability, but also you talk about Death Guard. I feel like anything that can achieve those primary objectives well, which is hard, which is harder to do than you think, because you have to
survive.
Yeah, you have to survive. You have to work that through in your head. You have to get onto an objective, and then you have to survive there for a turn. Now, that's not easy, necessarily. And maybe there's some counterplay. Like, I spend the first two turns blowing you away, you blow me away a little bit, and then we start to put our units on.
It's super hot and sweaty.
But especially at a 5-6 game tournament where you want as many primary points as you can to differentiate you out from the pack, that means you're always pushed. It doesn't necessarily... I could maybe stand off for two turns against you, shoot at you, attack you sort of thing, not even push you off objectives, just kind of trade blows to the point where I reduce your firepower so that my more fragile units can get onto objectives and hold it, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But... if I'm Death Guard custodies, I'm just I'm going to stand on those objectives, turn fucking one, and I might max out my primary. And I think that those armies that can max out that primaries end up over a 5-game tournament getting a bigger cap and then going through. And so there's an instinctive, I'm not sure what exactly the right word is, but it feels like there's a meta there, or there's some sort of tactic around that element to exist. Mm-hmm. And some armies like Gene Sith Cults don't have that.
It's going to be very interesting to see how people evolve their game styles, because this is very different from how we played in the ITC, how WTC was played, etc. This concept of you have to be on the objective for essentially a full turn in order to score. You already mentioned custodies do it generally very well because they're very hard to kill now that they have a PA that gives them abilities to do that. Death Guard, always hard to kill. As someone mentioned in the chat, very slow, but I think that's already been dealt with. If you look at what people are looking at from a competitive Death Guard list, there are units that are extraordinarily boring, but you can make them so efficient now with just the application of one or two stratagems.
What units?
Matter. The Chaos Spawn. The Chaos Spawn, you can get, five of them for 100 points? Is it five? Four of them for 100 points?
Yeah.
And you can, for 1 CP, give that unit disgustingly resilient. And now you're paying, 5 points per wound for a unit that just doesn't die, ever. When it does die, you have wasted so many points of shooting into killing it that you, that one squad of 100 points that you have to deal with the other squad that's 100 points as well, right? And they're faster than your go-to Plague Marines, and that lets your Plague Marines and Rhinos or whatever you want to put them in move up the board, so that turn two, which is one only time you're going to start scoring anyway, they are now ready to go, and anything within 12 to 18 inches, depending on how much CP you have, is just going to die from a squad of Plague Marines, because they have so many strats you can apply to them if you absolutely need to. So Death Guard are terrifying in the right hands, but just like with a lot of the best armies in the game, once it comes down to it, they're terrifying because of just raw math. It's not like you're doing anything ultra exciting. It's not like Inari, where at least with Inari, you had to be a decent player, or have a lot of reps in, I should say, at least with them. And then it was at least exciting to watch, even though it eventually became relatively formulaic what they did. They just did something nobody else did.
So what?
This is more of like a Broviathan thing, where it's like, I'm just going to out math you and move into the middle of the board, and you're just not going to be able to kill me, and I'll kill more stuff as long as you get within a specific range.
Broviathan, excellent reference, because this is where I wanted to segue. What of the old Tyrants? What of Space Marines, specifically Iron Hands, and just going all in on
Iron Hands? Still dumb.
Three up save, five still up involved, five up feel no pain.
Because they play,
you can definitely still do that.
Because yeah, because they do the Death Guard custodies thing kind of the other way. They're slightly less resilient, but there's more wounds and bodies. I don't want to say it averages out because I haven't done the math, but about the same, right? Hyper efficient, hyper elite. If anything, they they get a huge bonus, I think, more than a lot of other armies, from the ability to only minus one to hit on them. So, like, they're just like, okay, yeah, I hit on fours. Like, that's not great, but, like, it's a lot better than a lot of other armies that move from fours to fives or fives to sixes. So, like, I think Marines are in a great spot all across the board, right? Is there something about a White Scars Dreadnought as well? There's a thing I've seen.
Yes, yes. Because of the change to the White Scars, like, assault rule, the where they ignore assault, they changed it to heavy, where they can advance and still fire heavy and it counts as assault. They did this to a few armies. The big thing with this one, though, is that because of strats that White Scars have, you can essentially like outflank a Leviathan onto the board and fire all of its weapons at full capacity without any issue, or just move and advance it, move it twice and shoot. So, and that's been, by the way, that was a thing that already could happen, but it wasn't as good because you couldn't advance. Now you can advance and do it. So it's absolutely dumb. It was kind of like a meme thing that a lot of like Brohammer guys and some other people I talked to brought up to me as just like a funny thing you could do that would win games. And now it's like a legitimate threat you actually have to think about, except for the fact that, you know, the Leviathan did get hit with some points, but I don't think it was enough given this one combo. There's a few little things like that.
Very quickly, shout out Exigent Midnight for his comment. Death Guard are like bringing down Al Capone on tax evasion.
Yep. Nice. Nice.
Very nice.
Nice. Nice.
Very nice.
That's got some familial history for me. Yeah. Al Capone had my great great uncle shot. So good for him.
Is that true?
It. Yeah. You can look up Jim Colosimo and you. It's history. It was in The Untouchables. It was in a couple of the Capone movies. It was a defining feature of his career, was killing that man.
Oh, so. My God. Al Capone, a main feature in my favorite book series as well, The Night's Dawn Trilogy by Peter F. Hamilton. Not anywhere near as relate. Have you read that?
No, I thought you were going to say Nancy Drew.
No, you should read that, though. You should read that trilogy. It's possibly one of the greatest sci-fi trilogies of all time. That's wild. That book is awesome, Lord Wynne. I agree. No wonder you live in the middle of bumfuck nowhere. Yeah, was your grandparents in witness protection? Is the real question that we need
No. The Colosimo family.
The Colosimo clan. Come on.
We split. We left the island of Colosimi back in the day. Half of us went.
I believe
to
it's pronounced Colosimi.
Yeah, actually, it is 100% pronounced that way because that's how my last name is pronounced. So like half of them went to the States and they immigrated to New York and Chicago being where they eventually like set down roots and were more illicit in the activities. And the other went to Nova Scotia and Ontario. And that's where my side of the Colosimos went. But
racketeering and prostitution, not quite as profitable.
Not quite as profitable in Marguerite, of all places. You would think Cape Breton, Nova Scotia would just be filled. But nope, coal mining. That's all they wanted. Good. Yeah, get in there.
It's still pretty dirty, but totally different reasons.
Yeah. But yeah, Big Jim Colosimo, he was like the big pimp for all of Chicago for a long time. First gangster funeral ever recorded. Wow. Anyway.
As an adjacent to the adjacency, before we get back to 40K, because I think everyone needed a break, I have been finding myself nostalgic for Boardwalk Empire lately, and I think I'm going to rewatch it.
And the Big Jim Colosimo murder happens in, I think, the first season, and it's a big deal in that series. They mention it several times.
Amazing. I can't wait to see someone sort of related to you get gunned down on HBO. Gonna be great.
Every time it's brought up. The movie The Babe Ruth, Jim Colosimo, featured in it at one point. Babe's at a bar eating a hot dog or something, probably. That's what he always did. John Goodman.
With the worst facial prosthesis
of all time. But there, who's that guy over there? Oh, that's Big Jim Colosimo. He's big news. Don't go near him. Something like that. I was like eight when I watched that movie. But anyway, I was excited.
I've never watched. I watched the first episode of Boardwalk Empire. Not for me. I don't know what it was. I couldn't get into it. I was more of a Deadwood guy.
Oh, okay. So this is one thing Wow, you read my mind. Deadwood, probably the greatest show that never was. The thing that really separated Deadwood from Boardwalk Empire is that by the time Boardwalk Empire came around, HBO for some reason was willing to eat shit for a number of seasons and like spend the money on it anyway.
Yeah.
Although Deadwood did fall apart, I've recently discovered, not because HBO didn't want to spend the money on it, but because the showrunner was a degenerate gambler and had a lot of problems.
But if anything, I feel like I don't think there is a better anti-hero than Al Swearengen. Like
Swearengen's the best.
Yeah, he's infinitely quotable. I sometimes feel like this is the premise of this show. You know, someone's like, "Hey, I'm really excited." Like, I don't know. So, if none of you have seen it, like, it's not really a ruiner. But there's a moment in the show where the main character has to he's murdered someone. This is Al Swearengen. He's murdered someone, and then his lackey, he wants to know that she didn't suffer, and obviously she suffered because he had to kill her. He just says "fuck off" to him, and then he leaves. He's like scrubbing the blood, and he's kind of like this character who kind of understands the weight of the terror that he does sometimes. And he's scrubbing the blood, and he just like looks at himself, and he says he wants me to tell him something beautiful. And it's like sometimes you just can't polish a turd, right? Sometimes the horror of life needs to rear its head, aka the 40k points. At the point of this show, I sometimes think that doesn't make me Al Swearengen, by the way. I'm definitely the lady who makes the coffee.
I've always pictured you.
I was just gonna ask Rob what person on Peaky Blinders you were distantly related to.
Oh, Rob, are you related?
No, what, to the fictional Peaky Blinders?
Yeah, yeah, tell me about them.
The Facky Peaky Blinders.
I love that show.
Well, if anyone's interested...
Tom Hardy more than anything.
If anyone's interested in a full aside...
Downton Abbey.
Yes, if anyone's interested in a full aside, I actually, for many, 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 many years, didn't know some of my genealogy because I've never met my father. But I found out later in life, which was cool, that he was the captain of a fishing boat off the coast of Scotland. And I was like, okay, I can kind of get that. That's fun.
I can see it. I can see you captaining a fishing boat, Rob.
In Scotland, yeah.
Well, I mean, anywhere.
Yeah, well, yeah. So like, that's nice, but I don't know anything else. So maybe he's famous or his family is famous, I guess.
You seem to be from stock that's far too large and tall to be on a boat, though. Like, you just be cranking his head on shit all the time.
I can 100% see Rob in like a catamaran with those like
drinking
those,
his
like,
own
jorts.
Piss.
Jorts, yeah, drinking his own piss with gills in his neck.
One of my favorite movies. Paper. Dry land. Anyway.
Dry land.
It does explain the family resemblance between Rob and El Falcon, the boat folk. Anyway, 40k, back to that.
What were we even talking about? Points were mostly garbage, other than a few things that they got right. But they fucked over a few factions.
So here's a question. Where do we go from here? Because we all know that Chapter Approved can't possibly fix it because it's printed. As far as the December one is
though? Is it though?
It's gotta be.
Is it?
This is what happened last time.
It is, but like this time the Chapter Approved that they would have written would have been developed during COVID. So would they even bother? Would they wait until we actually have something to base their stuff on, right?
Will COVID-19 result in the first digital only points update?
I mean, it would be super if they actually listened to their playtesters, and that's what we had to go by. Not that playtesters are 100% accurate in how things should play out, but I mean, they're probably the best at figuring out what needs to be corrected going forward if we don't get any games in.
Also, what's going to happen? Because we're 3 months, 4 months into COVID? 4 months into COVID. Rob, you know this by the day.
Yeah, we're day 119 in the UK.
So
obviously, yeah. Well, I mean, Italy went down into lockdown maybe 3 weeks even before that. So, like, although Italy is sweeping it away, like they're pretty much open now. But the UK,
dude, it is 100% based on other things. Trust me, that is something I do know. I mean, we do shit on GW a lot, but we don't. But they do base Chapter Approved on tournament results and on playtester insight. So, I mean, I will shit on GW making mistakes, but Chapter Approved in general is based on actual information, plus things that they just randomly decide, of course, because they will fuck it up somehow. But like, there is a basis for it. Anyway,
the reason why it feels like a roulette wheel is because that information is 6 months old by the time it gets released.
Exactly.
So that's, so if you put it in the context of 6 months ago, usually Chapter Approved is bang on the money, or close to it. But I was what I was getting to was, we're coming up like in a month or two, we're coming up on 6 months since COVID, which means that is when their supply chain will officially be disrupted.
Oh, good point. Really good point. Yeah. So now it's based on just listening to stuff straight off the bat. Like do we like, so the micro changes, like 10 points up, 10 points down here and there on units, like is, I think can come from tournament data. But do we really need tournament data for some of the information that we need? Like the price of a stomper, you know, like flash kits versus, like, I mean, before you talk about comparing book X to book Y, which is the tournament data, I assume, there's always the internal parity conversation, which is a lot more obvious, because you're just writing the book. You're just like, okay, like, we've got three infantry-based shooting units that are all good at shooting infantry. Yeah, they're like first, second, third, or like we're all trying to make them about a one, you know, sort of situation. And you could do that inside of a book, like, or like, this one is really good at doing it, this one's really shit at doing it, so these are more points than these ones. And whether or not that's relatable into the outside ecosystem doesn't really matter. But we don't generally tend to see that, i.e. flash kits, right?
I think my theory on that weirdness has to do with, I suspect the armies that get weirdness like that are the ones that don't have an advocate or are not played as broadly amongst playtesters or the studio. I think that might have something to do with it. Like, for example, if something's wrong with Space Marines or what have you, although this doesn't work because chaos. But anyway, my theory would have been that they just don't have, like, there's just not enough voices advocating for, like, with a counter opinion. Like, someone says, oh, flash kits need to be nerfed, everyone's like, yeah, sure. Whereas you might get more debate around, you know, a unit from the Space Marine list. But then I immediately correct myself, because everyone, there's got to be tons of chaos players involved, and chaos is always screwed. So I don't know why.
Maybe it's just more fun playing chaos, right? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe chaos just need to lose. I'm not 100% certain on that, but like, maybe that's as simple as it goes. I don't know.
But I mean, even look at like the Gorkonaut and Morkonaut. Like, I was looking at a Gorkonaut,
oh my God,
compared to like a Knight Gallant.
Yep.
And like, I think a Gallant's got like 50 points on him, you know, or something like that. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, it's just heartbreaking. Like, orcs are really back to, in my, like, they're not back to their index days, but it feels like a lot of their headwinds are just like they were in the index days. And
index days was the strongest orc build.
No, immediately post Codex was insane. It was awesome.
Okay, okay. But immediate index wasn't bad.
Codex. No, index was terrible. Orcs index was one of the worst. They functionally had like a 20% win rate.
Index orcs, though,
I should have played
I think to Rob's point, was the best rule set orcs had had in a generation, easily, up until that point. Even though they weren't necessarily, you know, setting the world on fire, index orcs were still the best version of orcs that orcs had had until the Codex came out. So I guess maybe that's where the fondness comes from.
Yeah, I think maybe I had an odd index games, because no one wanted to play my 18 Smasher guns from the index when they were like 20.
You were oddly
each.
Prescient. I remember mocking you about your 18 Smasher guns.
Well, and I did the same.
And
you
were just so far ahead of the curve. You didn't even know. You didn't even know.
Well, I also did the same with Exocrines at the time, because I was like, I had a big love, but I didn't really know much, because I went like, the obvious answer is autocannons. I had like pre-8th. I was like, it's all about your mid strength, mid AP, D3 damage stat, because you're dealing with everything. So if you can find the thing in a book or in books that just does that, and just fucking spam the crap out of it. Then you're dealing with everything that you need to deal with all the time. And X-Screens probably wasn't the right decision, but I think autocannons felt like eventually became the one, right? Like, there was a lot. Autocannons have always been good, and at one point there was a lot of autocannons that were always good. Or am I not right there?
There was a point before they had points changes where autocannons were like the super way to go very early in 8th. Smasher guns, I think, like, initially when the Codex came out, everyone knew they were very points efficient, but in the ITC they sucked because they gave up kill more until people realized that that didn't matter. And then they were everywhere, right? Like, it just took a number of FAQs where they fixed, for example, the fact that you could give a 1+ armor save characteristic to something in the game. And then GW forgot that that had been a problem, as did the entire community. Oh, I went on such a rant about that the other day. Anyway, so good. I got nothing else. I'm getting tired. So.
All right. Oh, yes. Sorry. Well, it's late. I hadn't noticed the time. I was just enjoying talking to you both. I'm so, so sorry. It's been a pleasure. Talking to you both, thank you. This might be the very last time. Well, I think it is the last time we'll see Valve for a while. Is that correct?
I honestly have no idea. I'm going to assume that it'll be a little while at least until
I give it a month or two. Give it a month or two until you get into the groove of how to actually live with a baby, and then you'll be fine.
Yeah, and you know, it'd be nice to at least like appear to be more interested in the growth and development of my child than what's going on with 9th edition.
Well, babies sleep a lot, by the way. They just don't sleep when you want them to, so you'll have lots of time to catch up.
Well, I mean, on the adjacent show, it might work if I just have to constantly pop out and deal with the crying baby. So who knows? It could be just fine. We could have
bring it on the show.
Maybe a little baby half doing just fine. We'll see. But yeah, let's assume I'm gone for a little bit. And you need a new chair.
Okay. Well, hot goss there. Someone who can irreverently bring class and aplomb to the show.
Well, Tom Layton's out.
Yes.
Shots fired.
It's been lovely talking to you both. Pete, thanks for only sleeping for 3 hours so you can come on the show as well.
God bless you, Pete.
That's fine. Thanks for coming, man.
Loads of love, loads of love, and loads of love to both of you. Val, good luck. Loads of love. I will be.
And loads of love to the chat, who seems like there's a little bit of a fan base developing for Old Half, so I'll have to come back. But also, we got up. I saw us at 97 at one point, guys.
Good for you guys. Good for you. Someday we'll break 3 digits once Val comes back.
Yeah, yeah. The return. It'll be like when Dr. Disrespect returns. Very much the same.
Is he gone?
Pardon me?
He's gone.
He's gone forever, though. He's a bad
maybe
guy.
Maybe he heard about me. Maybe he's maybe a bad he heard man. Someone else no. was doing his thing.
He became the bad man. He became the bad guy.
Oh, no. Did he say something racist or sexist?
I don't know if they've ever said what happened. Did they?
No, they've not said yet. They've not said yet. Yeah. It's
but he got permabanned.
Yeah, from like a £100 million contract 2 months in or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Good gossip. Anyway,
loads of...
Yeah, yeah. Loads of love. Podcasters, drink loads of water. Patreon guys, couldn't do it without you. Twitch chat, of course. Nothing but love for you guys. And so, as always, fuck you, buddies, and have the greatest of days.